أوكي إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So actually we're near the end of the book of Iman, and the next book will be, it's quite a big chunk actually, mashallah, we've done. So the next book will be the book of knowledge. Okay, so in this lesson, the Shaykh rahmahullah, hafidhahullah, just went through the last few hadith of this book. Yeah. So we were still going through that that episode when that tribe came to the Prophet, the tribe of Abdul Qais. Okay, and the Prophet was going through these things about belief in Allah, and then to offer the prayers, to pay zakat, to fast, and to pay al khumus. Okay, so this is the point we'd reached, yeah? So the next thing he commanded them with was establishing the prayer, and this is part of Iman. And we did cover this ayah before. وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ And never would Allah have caused you to lose your Iman. And actually Allah is referring to the prayers they did before the change in the Qibla. So he called the prayer Iman. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ So actions and the prayer specifically and other actions are part of Iman, whether it's something you do yourself like praying and fasting, or whether it's you help other people, you know, in a direct sense. And then also the Prophet ﷺ commanded with zakat and fasting. Okay, these are also part of Iman. And then, so these are the four points. The numbering doesn't quite help here, but the four points which they were commanded with were belief in Allah and Muhammad as his messenger, to pray, pay the zakat, and fast. Those are the four things that he mentioned. And then this was an additional thing that the Prophet ﷺ mentioned about the khumus, that you have to pay one fifth of the war booty should be given to Allah and his messenger. And the Sheikh mentions that this, the possibility of having to fight was on the horizon, because they were already facing this this tribe of Mudar who were against them and were actually ready to fight them, and they could only come during the sacred months. So because this was you know, on the horizon, this was something that they would have to deal with, then the Prophet mentioned this. And this was the point that Bukhari was making about the Khumus, and that's why he mentioned this hadith. Okay? And then the next part is then the Prophet ﷺ forbade them from four things, namely, hantam dubba naqiran muzaffat aw muqayyir. So these were the pots in which they would prepare alcoholic drinks. And the Prophet ﷺ said, memorize these instructions and convey them to the people who you left behind. So they specifically asked about these issues. So the Prophet, that's why he addressed these. Obviously, many things are forbidden in Islam, but the Prophet mentioned these because they asked about them. And so these were four types of containers which they would use to keep drinks in, and then they would basically they'd eventually use them to generate some kind of alcoholic drink. And the four types which are mentioned, again, the terms mentioned, but Sheikh Abdullah mentioned that one is a type of jar, and the other is a type, if I understood correctly, is a kind of gourd or something, which then they take the insides out and then they leave the shell to dry, and then it becomes like hard and become, you know, it can contain drinks. And then the third thing was using a date palm to somehow carve it out and make it into a vessel. And then the fourth thing was using some kind of vessel which you line with tar or with pitch, that the black thick, sticky substance, you line it with that, and then it becomes a vessel. So what they would do is, in these four types of vessels, they would soak kind of fruits or dates or raisins in water, and then it would take on the flavor and the juice or the sweetness. And then later, they might use that for fermenting. Okay, so that was all forbidden. Using any of those things in any way was forbidden. Then later the Sheikh explained that that was abrogated, so the soaking was allowed again, but actually going on to ferment it in any form, in any vessel, for any kind of drink is completely haram. So he just said, apparently this is what they used to do. They would just soak things to give the water, like it kind of like make it like a flavored water kind of thing. So that's what he was saying. And then he said, so memorize these instructions and convey them to the people who you've left behind. So memorize them and convey them. So understand what the prophet's saying, obviously memorize them, act upon it, and then take it back to your, that's obviously implicit, and then you take it back to your people and convey that information to them. Okay. And this is what, if one learns knowledge, if one is trying to learn knowledge or be a student of knowledge, or anyone trying to learn knowledge, this is what we should be doing. We should try and understand it correctly, act upon it, and then convey it to others. Okay. And just as a side point, some of these hadith, obviously they themselves prove the validity of conveying hadith. The prophet would always tell people to convey the information, and that shows the validity of preserving hadith and conveying them to others and so on and so forth. There's another hadith, again, this is a digression, but there's another hadith. Have you heard that hadith about which tells about conveying, may Allah whiten the face, you know, or brighten the face? So that's a, it's a quite a famous hadith, which is mutawatir as well, where the Prophet ﷺ said that may Allah brighten the face of someone who, then he gives that whole thing that they understand it and convey it to those who are not there. Okay, so that just illustrates that point. Okay, and there's a few more hadith, so we'll just try and go through them quickly. Okay, so the next chapter, what is said regarding the statement, the reward of deeds depends upon the intention and hoping to get reward from Allah. So narrated from Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-a'malu bin-niyyah bin-niyyah wa li kulli imri'in ma nawa, faman kanat hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulihi fa hijratuhu ila Allah wa rasulihi wa man kanat hijratuhu lidunya yusibuha aw imra'atin yankih yatazawwajuha فهجرته إلى ما هاجر إليه. So as I'm going back to the Hadith of Nawawi, that's why, but there's a slightly different wording, okay? So the reward of deeds depends upon the intention, and every person will get the reward according to what he has intended. So whoever emigrated for Allah and his messenger, then his emigration was for Allah, to Allah and his messenger. And whoever emigrated for worldly benefits or in order to marry a particular woman, then his emigration was for that which he emigrated for. Okay, so do you remember where we covered this hadith before? Yeah, the very, very first hadith. Yeah, exactly, the very first hadith of Bukhari. So often Bukhari would repeat the hadith in different places, and he might get a slightly different point or slightly different aspect of the narration.
Emigration for what?
So that means that. So that's. Oh, what happened there? Yeah. So the emigration means that if you did it for, so it's not specified then. So basically, it could be anything. You know, you might be because of business or to get married or because he likes that place more than the, you know, or so whatever reason, it's not specified, but it could be anything else. And it's almost to show how bad that is that he didn't mention it in a positive way, almost dismissively. Yeah. So it's either you do it for Allah and His Messenger, or you do it for some other reason, and you won't get the reward as it were. Yeah. So in the chapter heading, it mentions a niyyah and a hisba. An ihtisab is hoping for reward. Okay. And do you remember the hadith about Ramadan and praying the night prayer and fasting? And what was the word mentioned? Phrase it in English if you don't remember that. Whoever fasts, or whoever prays the night prayer, or whoever prays Laylatul Qadr, and then there's a phrase. Just the meaning, if you don't. Ihtisaban, yeah? So, imanan wa ihtisaban, wa ihtisaban, yeah? Exactly, then Allah will forgive us, exactly. But the thing that you need, where is it gone? Oh. Yeah, so ihtisab. So, these are two things which are important. One is that you have the niyyah, that you do it for Allah. That's why you're doing it. You're doing it for Allah's sake. But you're also hoping for the reward from Allah. You're expecting, desiring the reward from Allah. Okay? And these are both important. And that's why the two hadith are mentioned. The first one mentions niyyah, and the next hadith, which we're going to cover, will mention ihtisab. Okay? So we said the hadith about intention was mentioned at the beginning of the book, and Bukhari would mention the hadith at many places, but the summarizer would try to only mention it at one place if he can. He wouldn't repeat the hadith unless there's a particular need or additional phrase or something like that. Okay? And then we said, of course, actions are accepted in accordance with their intentions for Allah or for something else, and you won't get the reward then for that. And then the next hadith was narrated by Abu Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if a man spends on his family with the intention of having reward from Allah, then it is a kind of charity. إِذَا أَنفَقَ الرَّجُلُ عَلَى أَهْلِهِ يَحْتَسِبُهَا فَهُوَ لَهُ صَدَقَةٌ. So if he spends on his family, hoping for reward from Allah, then it is a charity. Okay, so that's why that slightly separate concept is there as well. Okay, and so if you do that in that way, you're hoping and seeking the reward from Allah, then that will be considered sadaqah. And there's different hadith about how it's important to look after and to care for your family. The hadith of Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, when he was ill and it thought he might die, and the Prophet said, you shouldn't give too much away in charity so that your inheritors still inherit enough to manage. So that's one hadith that's in Riyadh al-Salihin, is mentioned as well, I think. And there's also the hadith that even if you put a mouthful or a morsel of food in your wife's mouth, then that's rewarded. Okay? And so the Shaykh was saying as well that, obviously, if you look after your family, that's of benefit to you and obviously makes you feel happy as well. But if you still, along with that, if you do it for Allah's sake, hoping for a reward, then you'll get that reward and it's considered charity. And even more so, if you give it to other people who are not in your family, who in that sense you don't directly benefit, it's just to other people, then you'll get even more reward. And then it says yahtasibuha, and that's the thing, ihtisab, hoping for reward. Any questions? Okay. And then the next couple of hadith, just quickly going through them. Okay, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and hopefully you remember this from Nawawi's hadith. Yeah. It's the seventh hadith. The issue of nasiha, I'll come on to that. So Jarir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu said, I gave, so bayatu Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ala iqam as-salah wa ita' az-zakah وَالنُّصْحِ لِكُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. I gave the pledge of allegiance to Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the following: to offer the prayers perfectly, to pay zakat, and to be sincere and true to every Muslim. Okay, it's such a nice concept, mashallah. So do you remember the hadith in Nawawi's 40 hadith, which is similar to this? Do you remember this one at all? About sincerity, nasiha? Quite a famous hadith. So, okay, I'll mention it then, yeah. So this is a hadith of Tamim ad-Dari, and the Prophet ﷺ said, ad-deenun nasiha, ad-deenun nasiha, ad-deenun nasiha. Qulna liman? We said, to whom? He said, lillahi wa li kitabihi wa li rasulihi wa a'immatil muslimin wa aammatihim. So very nice hadith. So the deen is being true. It's like being true or having sincerity. Okay. And we said to whom? To Allah. And then he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, to Allah, to his book, to his messenger, to the leader of the Muslims and their, or to the leaders of the Muslim and their common folk. So Bukhari mentioned this in the chapter heading, this hadith, but he didn't include it actually as a hadith in his Sahih. This actual wording, it's only in Sahih Muslim. Any idea why? Yeah, exactly. It is authentic and it's Sahih, and Muslim considered it Sahih. But Bukhari had a very high standard of Sahih, like he had extra conditions. So it's a very, very high standard of Sahih. So he didn't, so he mentioned, so sometimes he would do that. He would mention the hadith in the chapter heading, but he wouldn't actually consider that formally part of his collection. And then he might have other hadith which explain the same point. Okay, so that's the point. Okay, and so obviously the Prophet in the hadith in Bukhari, the Prophet mentions prayer, zakat, and nusr, being sincere. Okay, and that sincerity is, it should be like being true to them, you know, being true to the Muslims. You should have that in your heart. You should want good for the Muslims, striving to the benefit them, not wishing for them to come to harm in any way, loving them, making dua for them, and so on. So a very nice kind of positive thing one should have towards Muslims. Okay. And then the last hadith, again, just makes a similar point. Okay. So, فَإِنِّي آتَيْتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قُلْتُ أُبَايِعُكَ عَلَى الْإِسْلَامِ فشرط علي والنصح لكل مسلم فبايعته على هذا. Okay, so I went to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said and said, I give my pledge of allegiance to you for Islam. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made a condition that he should be, this companion should be sincere and true, show nasiha to every Muslim. So I gave my pledge to him صلى الله عليه وسلم for this. So again, having that sincerity towards every Muslim is obligatory. And if you have that truly, then all the bad feelings will go, you know, it will go from your heart. Okay. And this is a very important principle. If you have this, if we truly have this, then the way we will interact with the Muslims will be full of good, and it will be a very, you know, positive, positive interaction and beneficial, inshallah. Okay, so that's, mashallah, I think we've done about 53 hadith or so. It's quite a big chunk. So next time, inshallah, we'll start Kitab al-Ilm, the Book of Knowledge, which is also very interesting. SubhanAllah, la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.